am Kate Conroy.
And I'm Vanessa Vitello.
And this is Other People's Business, which is the podcast from the New Jersey Business and Industry Association.
With us today is one of our members, Jim Minadia from Zero Search. Say hi. Tell us a little about yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jim Minadia. I'm with Zero Search. We manufacture surge protection using filter technology.
Is that like the surge protector that's, you know, in my closet? It's like a power foot that I plug into the wall and I plug a bunch of stuff into that?
Yeah, so we do, you know, from plug-ins, we also do hard wires for industrial applications and things like security cameras to protect them, fire alarms, those kind of things too.
Cool. Nice, very cool. All right. So first question today, what is your favorite movie?
Well, I guess I made a list of favorite movies.
You were prepared. You knew this was coming.
We had a discussion about this. So basically, you know, when I was in my teenage years, my friend Tom and I would go see movie marathons. So we would have five movies that we'd pick and watch them all in a row. And the thing was, we had to go to a movie theater to see them. You had to pay for it. We didn't sneak in for the next four showings or whatever.
Very honorable.
So I made a theoretical list of where what our favorite movies would be. And so this is not necessarily the top five movies of all time, but it's almost like a meal. So you have your appetizer, your dessert meal, you know, movie.
I can't wait.
So we'd start off with a comedy, Airplane.
Yeah.
You know, it's never laughed so much in a movie ever.
I speak jive.
You know. And then we'd move on to something more substantial like Patton. Maybe that, or Gandhi, or Amadeus, some kind of biographical
all great movies.
Drama.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something long, something you could see in 70 millimeters. We'd probably go see it at Westview Cinemas in Maryland, where, fun fact, it made the appearance in the movie Tin Men.
Oh.
It was the nightclub in the back of
wow.
Tin Men. So then the next movie we'd see, a Western, because we like Westerns, Silverado was our favorite. And it's a huge cast, includes like a young Kevin Costner, Danny Glover, even like John Cleese from Monty Python is in it.
Hmm. That's random.
It was written by the same guy who wrote Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark and Big Chill, Lawrence Kasdan.
Well, The Empire Strikes Back then.
Yeah.
I think Lucas himself wrote the original.
Right, he wrote the...
Yeah.
He wrote the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Or he's a writing credit on three.
It always
those,
comes so. Down to Star Wars for us, doesn't it?
It's an awesome movie. Yeah.
So then we go to like a blockbuster movie. So I picked Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Nice.
Honorable mentions to Back to the Future, the first one, and
awesome.
The third, Austin Powers.
wow, the third then, one.
And then the last.
I like how that's standing shoulder to shoulder with the rest of them.
Well, just, I don't know. This was also, you know, I didn't.
Well, it's not the best movies ever.
It was
the ones you want to watch.
You know, I checked the listings in the paper, and that's what was available. So, you know.
That's awesome.
The last movie would be The Hunt for Red October. And the reason is because I drove 1,000 miles to Missouri to see it with Tom when it first came out.
Oh, my God. That's
we both
commitment.
Read the book ahead of time, and we both love Tom Clancy books. And Tom Clancy's a Maryland guy. We're both from Maryland. So, you know, it just worked out. And so in college, I drove over to see him. And then when we got there in Missouri, they weren't even showing it at the theater there. So we had to cross the Mississippi back into Illinois, 45 minutes into Carbondale, Illinois, to see it. So,
if only you could call the theater and listen to the show times or something.
Well, I put that one on Tom, so he should have faked it.
Yeah, he was the local. He totally should have handled that.
So. Wow.
That's incredible.
All right, so my favorite movie is Back to the Future.
I knew that.
Yeah, it's always been my favorite movie. I consider myself a serious film buff, or at least I've really tried to become more of one in the last, like, decade or so. And so I've watched hundreds of movies that people would consider the best, and at the end of it, I really came back to just, like, Back to the Future is my favorite movie. And I think the reason for that is whatever captivates your imagination when you're younger is just going to stay with you for the rest of your life. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
That nostalgia.
It's not even so much nostalgia. It's just, like, what is it that, like, gets you going, you know, at this... Like, all right, so Back to the Future is a very sci-fi driven movie. Mm-hmm. As an adult watching it, there's a lot more heart to it. But, like, you know, they had the time travel and the flying skateboards in the second one and everything. So, like, as a kid, that, like, really got my creativity going.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, whenever I think about stuff, like, whenever I'm trying to be creative, I come back to those kinds of things that I saw as a kid. And it helps you get through it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. All right, so I had a tough time with this question, actually, because, like, I want to know, like, what the criteria is for favorite movie. Like, when I think about a book, like, favorite good books, you know, I want... beautiful writing, great characters, and a really good story. Like, those, if you have those three, that's a great book. With a movie, I don't know that you could use the same criteria, but if Inglourious Basterds, we were talking mm-hmm. about this yesterday or the day before, that's a movie that I can throw on anytime, any place, and just be completely entertained. But is it like my favorite
movie?
You're
probably going to want to take that uniform off at some point.
I know, right? It's a great movie, but it's probably not my favorite. But man, there is one movie that has stuck with me for years, and I didn't see it as a child, and it's such a girly girl movie, but it did win an Oscar. Places in the Heart. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Oh my God, Sally Field in Texas. Did you see the movie, Jim?
I think I have. It's probably been a long time ago.
Yeah, so I don't want to go too far into it, but it's just this a rough life in Texas, Depression era. You know, her husband dies, and she's trying to like keep the farm going, and she takes in a drifter, and then she's forced to take in a boarder, and so she's got this raggle-taggle team of people who are trying to help her keep the farm going, and oh my God, a lot of heart. And then the ending just, oh God, it crushes me every single time I see it, and it's a great movie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'll definitely check it out.
You should. Everybody should. It's a great, great movie. It won an Oscar for a reason.
What did it win the Oscar for? I don't remember it winning a Best Picture.
No idea.
Yeah. It's like Best Cinematography or something.
No, you know what? It might have been...
Maybe for Sally Field.
Yeah. I think it might have been the moment when she's like, you like me. You really, really like me. Okay. Do you remember that?
I've heard that line many times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And rumor has it that as soon as she said that, everybody in Hollywood started hating her, so... Anyway, all right. So that's my favorite movie.
Okay. So going back to Zero Search.
Yep.
You walk into a store, you see a lot of surge protectors. What makes Zero Surge different from the rest?
Okay, well, first off, we're not in stores, so that's the first thing.
Okay.
But what makes ours different, every other surge protector is the same. So every other surge protector uses what's called a metal oxide barrister. It's this little component. And what that does is it waits for the voltage to reach a certain level, and then it diverts it to the ground line in your building. And so, you know, power in this country, we use alternating current. It oscillates at 60 hertz. And what happens is every time you turn on and off your light switches, every time your coffee pot cycles, your air conditioning, the elevator turns on, you create a surge because that 60 hertz gets interrupted. And so you get a little spike of power. And so the metal oxide varistor tries to wait for that spike to happen and then tries to protect your equipment. But there's two problems. One is it can't survive long with that. So after a couple years, that metal oxide varistor wears out. And so it'll wear out without any warning. You don't know. So your surge protector, your feet right now, listening to us, could have been failed, you know, a year ago, and you just don't know.
Ooh.
Jeez.
So there's two ways it fails. It either breaks apart, and if you shake your surge protector, you'll actually hear it rattling. And that's the MOV broke apart.
Huh.
Or
I'm going to go home and do that.
I know, me too.
I had one when I first started Zero Surge. I brought my old one in for Rudy to test, and he was like shaking it. And he goes, nope, it's already broken.
Wow.
I could tell you. And so I recorded that somewhere so that it's saved for posterity. But the other way it fails is it just gets hotter and hotter, and it can get hot enough to catch fire. And there are fires that have occurred. The stat I've read from the National Fire Protection Agency, 34% of power supply fires were caused by the surge protector. So, you know, it is a significant issue. There's been a lot of recalls. There's one that was recalled 15 million units about 3 years ago, which most people probably never heard of because they barely make the news, you know, in today's age with all the other stuff going on. So our product's never been recalled. It can't catch fire, theoretically, because it just doesn't work the same way. The way ours works is we actually filter out that little spike in real time, and so we can bleed it back out to the power company and instead of saving it and trying to send it to the ground line.
So, I mean, you say that, like, even... All right, so even like me turning on my air conditioner or me turning on the coffee pot creates a little bit of a surge. So then like the lighting and all that is obviously bigger. Yeah. That's the kind of thing like you don't even think about. Like I never even thought about the fact that maybe like turning on the lights creates a little bit of a surge. But hearing this now, knowing that like my surge mm-hmm. protector can cause a fire within my house because I've neglected it underneath the couch for so long, that's crazy to hear.
Yeah,
well, it's something I didn't know either until I started... you know, at Zero Surge. So it is an interesting problem, and the surge protector companies, they've been adding new features. They've been trying to add things that'll stop the power. There's certain ones that'll have fuses and other, like this one I showed you guys earlier, they actually put a little Nomex fire protection jacket around the device to try to protect it.
Yeah, it looks like just a little piece of cloth.
Yeah,
it looks like it's like, you know, cloth you get from a fireman's jacket they put around it. Or some of them, they'll encapsulate them in ceramic and things like that to try to protect from the extreme issues. But and the UL test spec has been written several times now, so it's now like about 180 pages worth of safety tests that you have to do. But, you know, it's still an issue, and it's still, if you want to protect your equipment and also extend the life of your equipment, you need to have the proper surge protection.
See, I can't even stress this enough to the people listening. You can't see this over the air, but this thing that Jim just dropped down on our table to show me that this is what's protecting my entire house from a fire,
it looks
like a big thumbtack with a piece of cloth over it.
I was going to say a hairpin. It looks like a bobby pin, a little bit bigger than you would normally find in a CVS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, that's unbelievable.
You know, our inductor that we use to filter out the surges, it's like, you know, it's a sturdy piece of metal. It probably weighs about
this looks like a real piece of tech.
Yeah. You know?
And it's encapsulated and everything. So it can handle the amount of energy that you would need to protect your equipment.
That's awesome.
Wow.
But to back to your question too, is that 80% of surges originate from inside a building. And only 20% come from outside. And
so the lightning isn't an issue.
Yeah, and lightning, I mean, even if you live in Florida, lightning doesn't happen every hour. It happens maybe once a day in Florida, and here maybe once a week, you know, during the summer. And so it's really not, it's what people think of when they think of surges, they unplug. Mm-hmm. And it's true. It is probably the, you know, the most damaging kind of surge. And again, we don't protect you against direct lightning. So that's something, too, I would, as a caveat. Nothing does. So if lightning strikes your house, I mean, that's why you have lightning rods to try to divert it around your house.
My dog will tell us, I was right all along. Yeah. It was a problem.
Yeah, so I mean, nothing can handle that. And there are products on the market that try to help divert, you know, lightning and stuff like that. But as far as inside your building, protecting you up to 6,000 volt, 3,000 amp surges, we're certified. And we're the only company that UL has ever, they offered a testing service where they did a 10-year simulation of surges at the worst case surges. And we're the only ones that take them up on it, and we passed the test. So
UL, I was going to say,
sorry,
I know just enough to be dangerous.
Underwriters
Your
laboratory.
Cables need to be UL like certified to go in the wall and everything, otherwise you cause a fire. But
yeah, UL is the overarching group. They're an independent company that creates safety standards. So it's not just for electrical. They do all sorts of products. They do, you know, they're working on the self-driving car stuff even, and you know, generators and things like that. So
we're an office building. We have about 50 people in this building. Would you put one of these at every workstation? How many?
Well, it depends on. Yeah, you'd want to protect your equipment as close as you can to the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So having a surge protector like at the building entrance isn't going to help you when all the surges are happening inside. So people will try to buy these like whole building surge protectors thinking one will protect the entire building. Well, that doesn't work. So generally you'd want to put it on anything. You'd have one of our units at every workstation, or if they're, you know, next to each other, they could share or whatever. And then we also have a product that has two receptacles that you would put ahead of a UPS. So a backup power system. So if you have backup battery, usually those systems have 8 or 9 outlets on the back. So you don't need the extra outlets we would give you. So you would plug the backup battery into our product into the wall. And then we would protect the battery backup as well as the equipment that is plugged into.
Cool. Wow. So, all right. I think we're going to take a quick break unless you've got anything else.
No, let's take a break.
All right. And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. So next question is, what is your most memorable movie experience? Jim, you want to go first? I know you're a movie guy.
All right. So we talked about this. For those who haven't watched any movies in the 80s, this is a big spoiler alert. but I went to the premiere of a movie called No Way Out. It's a spy thriller kind of movie, as Gene Hackman as the Secretary of Defense. It's got Kevin Costner as this military Navy officer who's like an aide to him. And they're both dating Sean Young, and they don't know it at the time. And then Sean Young falls and dies. And so Gene Hackman doesn't want to be framed for the murder, or if it's a murder or not, and he doesn't. And plus, it's his mistress. So, but they find out that somebody else was seeing her, so they're trying to figure out who it is, and they're going to frame that person, and they're going to say he's a Russian spy, and they're going to make a big deal about it. But Kevin Costner finds out, so he's trying to avoid getting caught, and it goes back and forth, back and forth, and finally at the end, another person who's an aide to Hackman kills himself, so they use him as the scapegoat. And so at the very end of the movie, you think it's all done. Kevin Costner's wearing his white Navy uniform with, like, blood stains on it and everything. And he's being interviewed, who you think, by the FBI or CIA. And then all of a sudden, they start speaking in Russian to him.
Oh,
and
no.
Then he starts speaking in Russian back.
Damn.
So then you know he's the Russian spy.
He really was a Russian spy.
And he really was setting this up the whole time.
Damn.
And so this huge, you know, spoiler at the end of the movie, turnaround thing. So we see the movie. We're walking out of the theater. Our jaws are dropped, and I hear behind me somebody go, "Kevin Costner was a Russian spy the whole time," to the next group of people seeing the movie. And we were like, we thought there was going to be a riot.
Oh, no!
Because it's like you have 50 people waiting to see the movie,
and they were
and
just
they hear
given
this,
the ending.
And then at first, I think some people didn't understand, because how are you supposed to know
right. What
this was about? But then somebody else said, "Why would you give out the spoiler?" So they made it, like, to make it sure that they knew that this was important information.
So do you think that guy did it on purpose, or was he just
I think he didn't know. He was clueless.
No, I think that's why now, today, we space out showtimes a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I went to go see Wonder Woman not that long ago, and they had the showings going back to back. And so I was really paranoid, because I had nothing better to do but go in and sit down in the theater. But I didn't want to catch what would have been, like, let's say, the after the credits scene or anything like that. So I was really terrified. But, like, you know, just coming out of the movie theater, your natural inclination would be to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I was just paranoid. Like, I'm sitting there in the hallway holding my hands over my ears, like don't know when to go in, you know, like, yeah.
That's terrible. Oh. All right, Vin, what's your most memorable?
So I put a lot of thought into this, because I have so many. But the one that I came up with was, there was my life before Star Wars, and there's my life after Star Wars. I can remember when I first saw the movie. My brother and I were pretty young, and we saw the tapes on my dad's shelf. And we were bored. We had nothing better to do. We were like, hey, people have been talking about the Star Wars movie. Let's try that. And it's an older movie at that point. You know, we just never saw it. So we put on Star Wars. We became, like, addicted, grabbed Empire, threw that in, watched that. And then when that was over, the credits roll, we go to reach for Return of the Jedi, and it's not there.
What?
And we're like, wait. Well, what's this? Like, my dad just didn't own the tape. And, like, today that would be unfathomable. I don't even think you can buy, like, the original Star Wars trilogy separately.
No.
So, like, Empire ends in this cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, we were like, I was maybe like 10 years old, 9 years old. My brother was even younger than that. And, like, we have no way of seeing this movie. This is before streaming. This is, you know, like, so, like, it wound up being something like 5 months before we got a hold of the film.
5 months?
Yeah. And I imagine people
I
in the 80s
several
had to
years.
Wait 3 years. Yeah, but, like, for us, we were kids. We're like, we have to know what happens, you know? It drove us insane for months until we were finally able to get a hold of it and watch it. So that whole thing... that would be my most memorable movie experience.
That's cool.
The experience of actually remembering the first time you saw one of your favorite movies, and, like, it drove you nuts that you couldn't see how it ends, you know?
Jedi was one of the very first movies I saw in the theater. Like, I remember, and it was a big deal, because I remember my mom left work early and picked us up from, like, daycare.
Yeah, get in the car. We got to go see how this
right?
Yeah.
She was like, okay.
Yeah, my parents saw Star Wars first. And then there's like, oh, we got to take you to this movie.
Yeah.
So they thought it was like an adult movie. And
right.
And they brought us. And then we loved it so much. I bought the two. There was a two album set.
Mm.
A regular album. And it was the soundtrack to Star Wars.
Oh,
it was
wow.
The actual, like, dialogue and everything. And we would play it. So instead of even having, this is even before VHS was even out.
Mm.
So you would play the movie. The audible part of the movie.
It would be the
so
entire
kind of like
dialogue?
A, it was like having the entire
OTR,
movie.
Like the radio.
It was
thing,
as
right?
if you were blind and watching Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
It was
really?
It was the dialogue and it was the soundtrack put together. It was just the audio mix. And so we would actually act it out. My sisters and I would act out like
that's awesome.
you know, put on your deflector shields, double front, and take a pillow, and you put it up in the air.
So that's I love it.
That's my Star Wars experience.
That's fantastic.
I probably did that like 40 times too, just without the accompanying soundtrack. Yeah. My brother and I probably had it memorized after a while.
Yeah, I was the only girl in the neighborhood when I was little, so we would always play Star Wars, and I was always Princess Leia. We always had blasters. We were always running up and down the alleyways, chasing or running from or whatever. Yeah, totally. Okay, so anyway, most memorable movie experience. I'm gonna keep going with the Tarantino theme. When I was a senior in high school, my girlfriend Gina and I went to see Pulp Fiction, not knowing anything about what to expect. Like, we knew that it had gotten great reviews. We knew that it was supposed to be good. So, and we were both recently 18. I think it was like an R-rated movie. And so we were like, ooh, we're getting into an R-rated movie, but it's legit now. We're legal.
Happy to show your ID to the person.
Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't even care.
So lame. Okay, so, but then at the end, I guess, I don't know, spoiler alert. Should I reveal what happens at the end with Marvin in the car? I think I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, first of all, spoilers for Pulp Fiction wouldn't really make a lot of sense.
I agree.
It's, like, not very chronological.
True. All right. Okay, so anyway, at the end, something happens with Marvin in the car with Samuel L. Jackson. And it was shocking, but it was meant to be kind of funny as well. And I grew up in Minnesota, and in this theater in Minnesota, everybody in the theater was just horrified and shocked. And my girlfriend and I were just laughing our heads off. We thought it was hilarious because we got the joke. It was meant to be, like, crazy funny.
So I'm giving you this really weird look.
Yeah,
right
you
now
are. What's going on with that?
That's not the end of the movie, isn't that
no.
supposed to be the beginning?
No.
So Marvin gets killed in the car.
Yeah.
But that's chronologically, if you deconstruct the movie and put it on a timeline, yes, it's near the beginning.
Right, but that happens
because
at the
very
end
beginning
of
the movie, they walk in wearing the t-shirts.
Right.
That they
the diner.
Wore after. But
the, after the cleanup.
But you got to put that in the back.
Oh. It happens in the movie, like at hour 1.0. I don't know.
There's still a lot of stuff that happens after that. Like, because
yes.
still, you know, they have to go through the whole thing of cleaning it up and all.
Or yeah, but it's, I don't know, the wolf comes. It's toward the end.
Yeah, but that's not the end of the movie. So
no,
this
it's
is
not
like
the
such
end.
A weird movie to talk
wow,
about.
Wow, I know. Okay, it's not the end of the movie, but it's toward the end.
We recommended this movie to one of our coworkers a couple weeks ago, and it was so confusing telling her what it was about that I just sent her the scene where they do the shakedown for the briefcase. I was like, here, just watch this. You'll get the idea.
Isn't that the scene where he's like, can I have some of your tasty beverage?
Yes.
Hawaiian burger?
Sprite. With the Hawaiian. The cool. Wait. Was it? No, it was
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger. That's it, yeah.
That's right. I love it. Oh, my God. All right.
All right. So back to Zero Search.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So we're a business association here at BIA.
Right.
And hopefully a lot of people are listening to this podcast, but our members who listen to it are employers. So is there anything that you guys sell to serve employers, or is it more just the home application?
I would say, I mean, all of our products are applicable to everything. So, but we do cater to the business customer in that we can help consult. We will make site visits. We joined NJBIA because we wanted to be that local manufacturer. We actually make the products here in New Jersey. It's actually made in Frenchtown, New Jersey. Right near the river there.
Nice.
And so we are a U.S., like I even say that every check that I write to every supplier goes to somebody in the United States. And most of our, I think we figured it's like 65% of our suppliers are in New York or New Jersey. So
very cool.
So we
That's
do deal
awesome.
With a lot of local, you know, suppliers and things like that. So, you know, so what we'll do is we'll help you if you're having an issue with a, you know, a device that keeps failing or it's a weird thing because usually surges are random. So it's like, why is that monitor in the corner the one that always fails? We could put the best monitor I can buy in the corner. That one dies. But the cheap one in the front of the room never dies. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can go over some of that stuff. But we do make products for facilities that to protect their alarm systems, their fire systems. They're hardwired. Our biggest customer right now is probably Wendy's. And they buy it for protecting the five circuits, so they actually protect the whole circuit. So instead of plugging in eight different devices into like a traditional strip kind of device, since they have dedicated circuits that are only going to be for the sensitive equipment, we'll have one for their POS system, their cash registers, one for the menu board.
We just talked about that.
I was just going to say,
Wendy's
are those the...
specifically, their POS system.
Yeah, those are the ones that Vin couldn't figure out.
Yeah.
Okay, so then there's... and then their menu boards inside, their menu boards outside, the computers, the TV that's in the lounge. They've gone through and they're redoing all their restaurants. So some of them are still the old style, some of the new. And then when they convert them to the new, they buy one of our products that protects all five. It's all the five modules are in one big box that they just wire them to there. So we go from that level all the way down to just simple plug-in. I brought a device today. It's called our 6R 4USB because it has a 4USB charging port. So you could actually plug your phone directly into it without having that big transformer that you'd plug into the wall.
And it is solid. It's like a brick.
I was going to say, this looks like a legit piece of tech, right?
Yeah, it's not as big as a cinder block, but it's close.
It's actually solid. The same volume as Belkin's most popular one on Amazon. I did the math the other day. It's just, you're thinking most of them are more like strips where they're spread out.
Yeah.
Ours is more compact, and so it's more three-dimensional. But what the advantage of the USB having it built in is that as a company, you don't want to have your employees charging their phones by plugging them into the USB port in their computers because their phones could get compromised and now they're introducing themselves into your network. And so a lot of companies, say that's against the rules, but people do it because it's very easy to do. Yeah. It's very hard to monitor if you're in a big company. So this product, you could have people have their extra ports for that, or they want to charge their iPad or some other tablets or even some other. There's a lot of IoT devices now that charge just directly off USB. So,
or just power on by
power, yeah. And right. So the advantage is that because the transformer for all four ports is built in, it's more energy efficient too. And it actually has like a little switch. So if you're not plugged in, there's like the door snaps shut. And
child safety lock here at work.
Well, it's kind of like a child safety, but it's more about power. So it turns off power to the USB.
Oh.
So it's not drawing phantom power if you're not plugging anything in.
Cool.
Hmm.
So earlier you mentioned that you can't get one of these in stores. How would someone go about buying one of your products?
Well, we do sell them online direct, or you can, if you're going to use like a purchase order system, call us. We do have accounts for those kind of people. For government, we have the Gray Bar is a company that they have a state account for electronics, and we're on their contract with the state, so anybody who's in government that wants to buy one, they just go to Gray Bar and buy it, and they get, I think, a 5% off our list price for being a government buyer. So
cool.
That's the other way as well. And we have some reps and things like that that can come out. We have a couple in New Jersey, but order direct from us, that's the easiest way to do it.
Very cool.
Phone number, website?
Oh, that would help. Donna's probably, kicking me virtually right now.
I was going to come back to that later.
So it's zerosurge.com. It's all spelled out. It's really easy. We have like a buy now page. You just click on the buy now and you can buy any of the plug-in items. For any of the things that aren't plug-in, call us because we want to make sure that you're buying the right thing, that you're qualified to install it. And then one last thing too is we also have products that are OEM modules. So basically that means original equipment manufacturer. So if like there's a company in South Jersey called OPEX, they do mailing machine and sorting machines for like Amazon and those kind of things. So they'll use our product and incorporate it into their product. So we take the shell off of our box and sell them the guts basically.
Wow.
One of our other big customers that does that is North American Pet is another one. They do all the reptile cages that you buy at Petco and stuff. And so they protect the power supplies that are running the heaters for like the reptiles and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And so they buy a bunch, every quarter they buy a few dozen or so and use them. And then some of our other big customers like Jiffy Lube uses us for their POS systems and, military government. We're in the U.S. military in South Korea. They order every now and then to protect the hospitals and things like that over there.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. Thanks. All right. So we're going to wrap up the way we always do and ask one last question. What are you hoping for this week? Jim, do you want Vinny to go first? Do you want to put him in the hot seat?
Yeah, let's put him in the hot seat.
Vinny.
All right. So quick update on my last, it might have been my last hope. I can't remember.
You've had a lot of memorable last hopes.
Yeah, memorable last hopes. So in one of the last couple episodes, I was talking about how I needed to mow my lawn because it got so jungle thick. I actually did legit break my ride on lawnmower going 3 feet through it. So that was a serious concern. It wasn't just me being overly worry wart kind of thing. But anyway, that was last week.
You got 3 feet into your lawn and it broke.
It might have been like 4 or 5, but yeah, it was almost and this wasn't a cheap thing. This is a John Deere.
So you ran over a tree or something?
No, All right, so I think I set the thing too low, rather than like, you know, doing like four, so the belt broke and I had to go send it back to get another one or something.
That bites.
I don't know how you fix a lawnmower. But anyway, this week I thought about this. What I want, or what I'm hoping for, is, you know, like I had my baby girl 6 weeks ago now. I would like to have the conversations about how often I'm sleeping stop like, all together. Like I would just like it if, you know, because it's all I talk about now. Everybody comes up to me, how was your sleep last night? Oh, you look so tired. Thank you. You look beautiful today.
Because eventually it's just insulting. Like, I know I don't look great, but come on.
Like, you look totally put together today yourself, actually. The bags under your eyes are, you know, definitely giving off a nice purple gleam that I'm not going to mention because I'm nice. But thank you for telling me how tired I look.
That is hilarious.
So I kind of want, because I don't even enjoy talking about sleep.
Of course not.
Who does?
No.
Like, yeah, so I just like that to either, like, peter down or just halt completely.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's my hope.
I don't think I've asked you in, like, a long time.
That could be the most sarcastic hope we've ever had on this show. We've never gotten negative for one of these things.
You're right, we haven't. Yeah. That's
hilarious.
You're
just going to see some random emails from me about your sleep pattern.
Yes, all the time, yeah. You joke, I'm getting them.
Yes. I believe it, yeah. I believe it. All right. What is your hope,
okay,
Jordan?
For the week?
Is that the way it works? Yeah, your hope for the week.
For the week. Well, my daughter started teaching this week, her last semester at college. She teaches elementary school. She's doing her last semester in college. So I hope she has a good school that they gave her to do her student teaching.
Aw, that's nice. So, what grade?
I think she said she's doing a fourth grade.
Oh.
Down in
I take Scott's.
Yeah.
So no, she's very good at she's always been the mother hen for the little kids. She's like in our family, she's 5 years older than all the other cousins, than the next oldest cousin. So she was always the mother hen. And even where she growing up, and you know, we're in a little town in Lebanon Borough, so it's like, you know, not that many people there, and she was still like the mother hen kind of personality. So she's carried that through her life, and that's little kids respond to her very well.
That's so awesome.
It's definitely something that she'll be doing the rest of her life.
Very, very cool. All right, so my hope is kind of silly, but Thanksgiving is coming, and I know it seems weird to talk about that because we're taping this, you know, not
in advance,
that,
sure,
right,
yeah,
way in advance. But somebody just sent me a text confirming Thanksgiving plans, like, yesterday, because usually Thanksgiving is like a three-day extravaganza for us. Mm-hmm. So we have Thursday Thanksgiving, and, you know, I'm from Minnesota. My husband's family is in North Carolina now. So we have no family in New Jersey at all. So we always get invited to a friend's house on Thursday. We host a Friendsgiving on Friday, and then we attend another Friendsgiving on Saturday. And then we have leftovers on Sunday. So it really is kind of a four-day extravaganza.
Wow.
I know, right? And last year that was all interrupted because we had family in town from North Carolina. My brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and their two kids were in town. So everything, you know, we did New York City, and we had Thanksgiving at our house, and it was fun. But this year, I'm kind of hoping for like a return to the extravaganza, because it's a lot of fun to like just eat your way through the weekend.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say, don't even worry about like people confirming Thanksgiving way in advance, because what I've learned over the last few years is that you can't let Thanksgiving kind of just go. Like, we now have to kind of confirm Thanksgiving plans in January.
Yeah.
Or like some family gets like,
we just had the same thing this weekend too, where my sister was like, okay, it's my house this year. So so we've already doing the same process.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out. So anyway, that's my hope, that it really does just turn into like a nice 3-day extravaganza this year.
Yeah, last year we were confident, we told everybody Christmas was at our house. And my parents didn't get that memo for whatever reason, so it caused chaos.
Oh, no!
Just chaos on, like, an epic drama level. So get it all sorted out now. It's all good.
Exactly.
Well, can't you use the baby as the excuse now?
That's what we're going to try to do this year.
Oh, yeah.
We're totally, not going totally anywhere. You can come to us or not.
Nobody, don't listen. Don't listen. No, they don't hear this advice. This will be off-camera advice here.
Yeah. All right. I love it. Okay, so I think that's our show. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. Subscribe to the show, rate us on iTunes.
Yep.
Check us out on YouTube. You know, we haven't actually plugged the YouTube videos in any of our previous episodes, but we do post to the NJBIA YouTube all of our episodes. So if you prefer watching it like that, by all means, check any way you view us. We're happy to have you view us.
Exactly. Thank you to Jim from Zero Search for joining us today.
I learned something,
which, you know, is always fun.
And I have Silverado stuff. No Way Out. And what was the name of the movie that you
Places
said?
In the Heart.
Places in the Heart to watch.
So. Such a great movie. I'll send you the trailer. We should post the trailer on the blog.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you to our early subscribers. We appreciate the buzz out there. Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye.